Welcome to Notcast, episode 305, Official Grey Muzzles.
I'm Severin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And today we're going to talk about the best types of calcium supplements so your bones don't break when that big old wolf gets you. Your broken hips really takes you out of the sex.
Takes you out of the sex.
Well, yeah. I mean, when your hip turns to powder when you're getting pounded, you know, it really, you know, makes it hard to do anything more than
imagine being an elderly twink and someone says they want to fuck you in half it. It's a legitimate concern.
I don't think that's a good idea. I had my spine fused a few years ago.
My anus don't grow back the way it used to. Wait, what? Never mind.
It's all right. I got a cyber anus.
I've said too much. My shit cutter just ain't working like it used to.
I'm Severin.
I'm Fusswolf.
And we're not cast. Shiva is, again, we're 2 weeks out from Furry Fiesta, so she will not be here until
don't expect Shiva till after the con. Yeah.
And then, you know, that's implying that she'll survive the con, as always, you know.
It's not like a death march. I mean, it's not like being in the fursuit parade at Anthrocon.
March! Keep walking! You know, a fursuiter falls, they just shoot him where he lays.
The city of Pittsburgh demands entertain us!
Oh, no. She's vendor hall, so she doesn't have... She has a lot to wrangle, but it's not that bad. I say that, and she's probably, like, getting angry for no reason off in the distance.
She's got to work on standing on Sarah's shoulders and screaming, "Who runs Potter Town?"
Yes. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So, happy birthday, Fuzz.
Thank you.
You've crossed yet another threshold.
I have. I've completed another journey around the sun.
Yep. And you are now large round number.
I am. Yep. Yeah. 400. No, wait. No, that's my weight. 40. Not
that's
really.
That's not your weight.
No, it's not. if 40 was my weight, I'd be dead.
Yeah. That would be very difficult for an adult to be at.
Yeah, I'd be dead or a model.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah.
Blue steel. So, yes, it's another week of Notcast, and it's been some interesting stuff. I got to see Deadpool. That was cool.
Oh, yep. Now we can finally discuss it, now that we've both seen it.
Yeah, I was had to go mail off a bunch of packages. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go around and see this.
Yeah.
Went to the AMC or Cinemark. It's one of the two. Up at the Louisville Mall, Vista Ridge Mall, I think it is.
That, I'm not super familiar with Vista Ridge. I don't know which theater
it is. I don't know. But anyways, they have assigned seating. They've got the reclining seats. It was really nice. And since I went and saw it at like 3 in the afternoon, there was nobody there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the Cinemark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, it was a very fun experience. I liked the movie quite a bit.
Yep.
And I have to say that the fact that it is an R-rated movie kind of throws you off because you're so used to seeing all the stuff. You know, it's a superhero movie with boobs and butt and dick and vagina and swearing.
The part that really amused me throughout it was that Colossus was still admonishing Deadpool for his bad language.
Because
Colossus being one of the characters that started off in the X-Men and is also in this film.
Yeah. Which,
so I thought that was particularly amusing. It was weird that Colossus was only in full transform mode the entire film. Usually you see him sort of metal up. But the movie did have a smaller budget because it was R-rated. That scene where he looks in the mansion door and he's like, "That's a big house. Is it just the two of you? It's almost like the studio couldn't afford any more mutants."
Yeah.
That's the other thing is that, like, I guess fans of the Deadpool comics know, but that's totally different from all the other superhero movies is the fourth wall breaking where he's literally addressing the audience and acknowledging that it's a movie.
It's a movie. It's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Then there's the fourth wall break. It's like 16 walls. I really liked it. The second half was not quite as funny as the first half because that was the one the action set pieces went on, but the action set pieces were good too. Let me spell it out for you.
Oh God, that was don't spoil that part. That
No.
was great.
But yeah, it was, and now it is officially bigger than Jesus. It has crossed the number one R-rated movie of all time by gross by beating out Passion of the Christ.
Oh God, nice.
Turns out that, gory movies about dudes that come back to life are all right.
You've actually made a parallel between Deadpool and Jesus. That's something. And Wolverine will be joining them because apparently the next solo Wolverine movie will also be R-rated.
Yeah, they're like, wait a minute. We can make R-rated movies and they make money?
Because like Wolverine as a character, totally would never swear, would never disembowel a bitch with his claws, and it's totally fitting
Yeah,
for him
I
to be
mean,
in an adult
an old
movie.
man with anger issues and knives in his hands is totally a kid's hero.
I think part of that is that, well, he was in the X-Men cartoon, and
Yeah.
because they made the X-Men cartoon.
Well, they thing is, Deadpool is in one of the more recent Spider-Man cartoons.
Oh God, really?
Yeah, the character has shown up in some of the kids' media, so there is an explicitly R-rated movie featuring a character that showed up in kids' media.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, consider that they're also for Batman Superman, they're doing an extended R-rated cut.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's where Batman and Superman, the fucking scenes will
Yeah,
be.
just Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent, they hook up on Grindr and it's like 30 minutes of nonstop fucking.
Would you not pay money to see Ben Affleck and the dude playing Superman fucking?
Henry Cavill, I think it is.
Yeah. He looks like he's pretty fit. I mean, you have to be in those roles.
And they just go for it.
Yeah.
Just have to watch out for the super cum. You better use like a kryptonite cock ring.
And that would kill him.
Yeah.
If that when he comes, it's like a she blows a barn door out of Lois's back. Oh, mall rats.
Oh yeah. When he takes a dump, he puts another elevator shaft in.
Actually looking forward to that movie. I know it is not going to be as good as anything in the Marvel Universe. And it's so dire and dark compared to Avengers or Thor or Captain America. But I still enjoy the characters, you know. It's like I'm also going to go see X-Men Apocalypse. Fuck the haters. I love the X-Men movies, you know.
I haven't seen Days of Future Past, but I'll probably end up going and seeing Apocalypse because they have like they're going with some, I guess, lesser known. They have Storm with her mohawk, and you've got Archangel,
It takes
and
place in the 80s, so it's
yeah.
80s Storm with the mohawk and the leather, and Archangel with the metal wings. Is Wolver I have the I have, don't think I've seen Wolverine in the trailer for it, or if it did, if he was in there, it was so
I don't
fast.
know. And apparently with Days of Future Past, they kind of resolved the timeline stuff, like you said. So those original movies don't count anymore. Oh.
Basically, a lot of, yeah, you could basically say none of that happened the way we saw it happened, but very strongly the events of 2 and 3 and Wolverine Origins didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, also in Deadpool, when he makes the crack about, "I will take you to see the professor." Which one? Stewart or other guy, McAvoy, I think it is.
Wait, did he say that?
Yeah, he's
Yeah,
like,
James McAvoy
it's
plays,
like,
sorry, young Xavier.
I will take you to see the professor. Oh, which one? Stewart or McAvoy?
Nice. I'm interested how he suddenly loses his hair in X-Men Apocalypse, because there's in the trailer for Apocalypse, there's scenes where Xavier has hair like he did in Days of Future Past and in
In First
First
Class.
Class, and then there's like this scene at the end of the trailer where like the big X door opens and he's in the wheelchair and he's completely bald. And I'm like, okay, so is there a time jump? How does he completely lose his hair? And
I think they might like hand wave it and be like, "Oh, it was the stress of getting mind fucked by Apocalypse or whatever." Because there's that one scene in the trailer where he's like wearing Cerebro and then like, and he's on the ground.
Oh, I love that scene where his eyes go completely black and he's like, I've never felt power like this before.
Yeah.
It's like, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a pretty good summer for films.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited that, Bryan Singer is directing Apocalypse, because he's the one that made, like, the first couple X-Men movies as good as they were.
Yeah, I mean, and the original X-Men was a really good film.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 and 3 kind of lost their way a bit, but now that they're taking superhero movies more seriously, they're probably going to do a better job.
I'd actually kind of like to see Wolverine in his, like, yellow and blue costume from most of his comic run in the comic and cartoon.
Well, because prior to that, it was the brown and tan.
Same
look, but...
Similar look, yeah.
Yeah, the yellow and blue was, like, the cartoon...
Yeah. Also. Well, he also did that in the comics, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the X-Men movies, like, they all have the black leather, generic, cool uniforms, or Logan.
The original X-1.
Yeah. Logan shows up with, you know, his, like, jacket and jeans and stuff like that, which is fine. He always dressed like that when he was off duty.
His Canuck.
Yeah. Really? I think we talked about all this last episode, too.
Like, no, this is something else.
I really dig Wolverine. Yeah, it's always one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, and then like another one's like, you should totally do like Old Man Logan, which is like another where it's like ultra edgy, old, violent.
Yeah, where it probably takes place like a couple hundred years in the future or something.
Yeah, well, something like that.
It would have to. He ages pretty slowly. He's already like 200 or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I have like kind of intentionally not paid attention to Superman Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll probably go see it.
You know, the later trailers are better. The ones that show a little more Wonder Woman in action and also introduce the character of Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. And it's like younger Lex Luthor, and he's clearly crazy, and he basically sets it up so that like he puts the earworm in the Bruce Wayne that is like, you know, if Superman ever went bad, he'd be really fucking dangerous. So, of course, then, you know, Batman is kind of watching him, you know, but like he starts that shit just to basically start shit.
Yeah.
So that he can gain power in Metropolis or Gotham or whatever.
Or both.
Yeah. And it shows Luthor to be an interesting character. Like they've done some neat stuff with him. And once they show him in a trailer, it's like, oh, this movie has more life in it than just dark and brooding, which is what like the first couple of trailers look just dark and brooding and not much else.
Plus Zootopia in like a week.
Ah! Oh my God.
And the early reviews for it are that it's really fucking amazing.
Yeah, I have no doubt that it will be.
It's one of those things, though, where it's like, it's a Disney film, so it's going to get good ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a degree of... But, like, The Good Dinosaur got panned.
What was The Good Dinosaur? Was that a Disney movie, or...?
Yeah, it was a Pixar film.
Oh.
That... just was like the first flop from Pixar.
Hmm. It was going to happen sometimes.
Right now, Zootopia is sitting at 100%.
And people generally shit on the Cars movies, so...
But those are like...
Are those DreamWorks, or are those...
No, Pixar? Those are Disney, but even though they were panned, they were the most successful toyetic movie that they've done in, like, ever. Because what do little boys like?
Cars.
Cars. An entire movie that's nothing but anthropomorphized cars.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm loading up the Rotten Tomatoes Utopia page right now.
Mm-hmm.
It has 20 reviews. Its average rating is 8 out of 10. 20 reviews counted, 20 fresh, 100%. And Deadpool is sitting at 83%.
What is it? Anything above 60 is considered fresh?
Yeah, anything above 3 stars or above is certified fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So the tomato meter is basically the aggregate of good versus bad reviews, and these are all good.
Yeah.
So its average rating is 8 out of 10, or 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be absolutely perfect, but I'm thinking it's going to be a damn good movie, and I'm really looking forward to seeing
it. What's really funny is that a lot... So, on the comic and cartoon Born to 4chan, they have had Zootopia threads on a near constant basis.
Mm-hmm.
One, at a given time, because that's the rules. But, like, there's all these Korean artists, for whatever reason, that have been doing, like, the Nick and Judy and, like, wedding attire thing. It's like, oh my god, we love these characters. They're so perfect together. Yiff, yiff, motherfuckers.
Well, yeah, ship them so hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's basically Nick and Judy and then Bogo and Clawhauser.
Yeah, I've seen that. Those two have been Rule 34 a bit. Yeah, but
there's
lately.
This one pick that says, Bogo's fucking huge. And it's like Bogo and Clawhauser in a sauna.
Yeah.
And so
and like, Clawhauser's all like blushing and nervous looking.
Yeah, Clawhauser's like underneath Bogo's arm, like just getting enveloped by this massive muscular muskox and
yeah,
or water buffalo. And he's just so like, he's all like looking cute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's amusing that those two characters have kind of found a little niche there.
Yeah, the big Barra muscle dude and the fat chubby guy. And,
mm-hmm. I guess we should have seen that coming.
And then the yiffing.
And of course, all the Nick and Judy chipping.
Of course. Apparently, you know, it's gotten very good reviews from all the Euros that have seen it, and
mm-hmm.
you know. It's going to be a good film. Yay.
This is something I mentioned on Twitter. I found a series of tweets by a conservative gay furry hating on Zootopia because it was too PC.
Yeah. You haven't even seen it yet.
Well, based on the clips. Like the, you know, if one bunny calls another bunny cute, that's okay. And also the, you know, you can't just touch a sheep's wool. You know, clearly they're making... You know, some racial and stereotypical parallels there.
Yeah, don't just touch her hair.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's doing
so
it.
So fluffy. It's like cotton candy.
It's like smacks his paw.
Yeah.
That's comedic.
Yeah, and there's a couple of people that are seriously taking it as a fucking it's gonna be so SJW and and I'm just sort of like, well, you go fucking cry your bitter conservative tears alone while every other furry is off having fun seeing this movie.
Oh, Christ. You know...
But I just wanted to mention it because it just struck me as so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I saw, like, some vague stuff and the guy was, like, being a real tool.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, like, protected his account. But then you have, like... I actually... commented on it. It's like, oh, we should find where this guy works and get him fired. Like,
oh, this must be somebody else then, because...
Okay. Because it was someone else that was like... Someone had riled the hive, and so there was a witch hunt going on for some dude. I'm like...
Yeah, I'm not really down with the internet lynch mob thing.
Well, like, it's one of those things where it's like apparently the person they had the ire of worked at Disney...
Oh.
And, like, they were like, oh, find out where he works at Disney and report him, because people like that shouldn't work at Disney, blah, blah. I'm like...
Oh. Wait, was this... And this was an anti-Zootopia guy?
I don't know. It was some dude that had riled the furry mob. Because
the only one that I saw that riled the furry mob was there was some conservatard calling people fags and...
Man, I don't know.
Saying some... Now, that's what I call edgy, too.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Just being, like, deliberately edgy.
The, you know, Shadow the Edgehog, Ow the Edge, you know.
Shadow the Edgehog.
Yeah, God. I don't know, man. It's just one of those... Anytime I see an internet lynch mob trying to get people fired from their job is for unrelated outside the work, I'm like, dude,
mm-hmm.
you have no idea how tight money is in the real world, that how people are, like, usually a paycheck or two away from being homeless.
Yeah.
And savings don't exist. So let's not not inflict economic hardship on people for stuff outside their job.
It's an interesting idea though, because then on the other hand you have that guy who was Violent Acres on, I guess, 4chan that was running like the creepy upcam
the
boards
revenge porn?
And no, I don't know if it was the if it was revenge porn, but it was like there was like it was like some creepy underage shit. It was creeping on.
The dude that was running like our jailbait on Reddit?
Yeah, that must be it.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was actually here local in Dallas.
Oh, great.
And he they revealed his somebody doxed him, found his real name, and he got fired in real life. But I mean, apparently he was like a real shit.
Yeah, well, I mean,
And
that kind of takes a step further, though, because, I mean,
like
you're
somebody
not
that's actually you're
being
not just being a
just an.
shitty person with a shitty opinion.
Yeah,
You're
you're actually
actually
causing harm to other people.
posting underage sultry pictures, you know, and it's like
I mean, being an idiot on Twitter should not get you fired.
or like
But taking pictures of people without their consent and posting it to internet and then making money off it, that should get your ass in trouble.
or also like making one ill-advised tweet shouldn't you get you completely hounded
Oh,
off of
Christ,
social
yeah.
media. There was that one woman that made what she thought was a funny joke that was kind of offensive. And so she'd said, fine, she was going to Africa on like a
Yeah.
thing. And she said, like, going to Africa now, hope I don't get AIDS, lol. And then turned off her phone for the 13-hour flight to Africa. So when she turned on her phone again, it fucking blew up because of all the ats and retweets telling her what
Yeah,
a
and
horrible fucking
like
person she was.
her
And
boss had contacted her and told her she was fired
yeah,
and
and this is a woman that had like 100 followers. You
yeah.
know, she literally nobody, just a random ass person going out their business that said the wrong thing, and the internet pounced on it. And I'm not saying that like she should have said that because, okay, yeah, that is kind of
There
a
was actually a follow-up with that woman a couple of years ago,
yeah, like
and she
they.
had like some legitimate issues. She had had trouble keeping a job. She had massive trust issues, was off social media entirely.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, once you have sinned in the eyes of the internet, you're a shit forever.
And like, you know, I see people like apologize sometimes, or people will wish something bad will happen to them, and it's like there's nothing that they can do or have done to them that would make it okay in the eyes of the people coming after them. Like, you can't apologize, you can't retract your statement. You can't promise to be a better person. It doesn't matter. You
Yeah.
need to be fired. And if you're already fired, you need to never have a job again. And you need to fucking live
Never.
in an alley sucking dick for food. And, you know, like,
Get cancer, syphilis.
yeah, you have to suffer the fucking 1,000 cuts. You know, and like some people that get into that lynch mob mentality, it's kind of scary,
Oh,
that
yeah,
attitude.
because you realize that it could be just as easily you.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
You know, think of all the dumb shit we've said over the years.
yeah, on or offline, and
I mean, hell, I've got a digital trail that goes back to 2004 on fucking LiveJournal. I've been so tempted to just nuke that fucker.
LiveJournal.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're like, oh man, this person said this thing like a decade ago. They're awful. Never
Yeah,
mind. Well,
yeah.
it's like, God, people fucking attacking Hillary
I was
over.
literally just thinking that.
Like,
Yeah.
oh, well, she was against gay marriage in 2004. Well, so was Obama. People change.
Yeah.
Flip-flopper!
And the other thing is like so I was talking to Tiernan about this and he'd actually retweeted it, but Dan Savage had some interesting words on that. He's like, yes, the her position on gay marriage is a political calculation. And you know what? We won that political calculation. We worked hard to be a positive in that calculation. So now, for a presidential candidate on the Democratic side to get anywhere, they have to be pro-equal rights for gay people.
Yeah.
You know, they have to. If they're not, they're not winning the primary. And you know, for one of the two major parties that have to be on our side, that's a big fucking deal. And I'm not saying like I expect like either Democratic candidate to give us the fucking moon and the stars, But you know what they're going to not do? They're not going to actively seek to undermine what we've already gained. Like most of the Republicans have said, if I'm elected president, I will stack the Supreme Court with conservatives and we'll reverse gay marriage.
Yeah, that kind of just to even think about that. Like, we've expanded their rights, now we're going to take them away. That's like lynch some motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, violent revolution level, no, you don't fucking do this.
Yeah, that is some bullshit. So, you know, I would support either Democratic candidate, whoever ends up getting the nomination.
Yeah.
But just, you know, those are not valid reasons to be like, Hillary sucks, in my opinion. You know, you can disagree with her on some of her political opinions, but guess what? Her and Sanders shared political opinions 93% of the time. They voted the same way in the Senate. You know, if you really want to, like, completely ruin someone's chances over that 7%. Yeah.
7%. That's an A-. 93% is an A-. We need an A+ president.
I just really don't want to see the liberal side turn into what the conservative side has, where they have this
shit the bed,
fucking
please.
Purity test, where if you're not, if someone is more conservative than you, you're primaried out. Or if you're not conservative enough, you know, you're booted out of the party.
What's your opinion on taking children from illegal immigrants and using them to build a wall with their bodies?
Well, as long as we wait till after they're born, because we wouldn't want to abort them, because God would hate that.
Yeah. But using their euthanized corpses as the foundation for our wall.
Perfectly acceptable.
Praise Republican Jesus.
And, you know, George Carlin addressed this years ago about how, you know, conservatives want cut back on things like Head Start program and prenatal care and, you know, and all the, like, childhood vaccinations and stuff like that. And he's like, if you're pre-born, you're all right. If you're preschool, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it sums up to.
And, like, the line of the evening that I've seen on Twitter was, like, apparently the president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, was like, lol, fuck off with that noise about, you know, Mexico paying to build a wall between the countries and Trump's response, well, the wall just got 10 feet taller.
Oh, my God. Really?
I'm like,
really?
You know,
at this point, Canada is building a fucking wall to keep us out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blame them.
It's good old Pixel KDC was tweeting about, oh, I don't know if my body, my liver can stand watching this. And I was like, rest in peace, Pixel KDC found her limit. And Flane replied, if only she could have gotten Mexico to build a wall about her liver. Oh, God. So now we're going to go into lighter subjects like rainforest. Oh, man. So
rainforest con theme of being the Republican debate was, in retrospect, a really unwise move.
Yeah, it was a real shit show.
Yeah. I feel that bringing that level of disagreement to the furry community.
Yeah.
You know, the hashtag rejected con themes. Conservatives. Crinkles.
Hella shrugged. Okay, so this was posted on the 20th. It is literally on the literary. What was the. It's just posted by Bunny, B-U-N-I.
Yeah.
It is titled Rainforest 2016 Post Mortem.
So let me give you a little backstory. Bunny was the con chair of what would have been Rainforest 2016. She was initially somewhat fired up to make changes in Rainforest for the better and thought she had 2016 to work with. And then 2016 was canceled at the existing hotel, so her job then became, oh fuck, let's find a new venue, and that's pretty much where the story goes.
Yeah. Basically, it opens with the line, "It is my opinion that what really killed RF 2016 was RF 2011 to RF 2015. During those years, we failed to deal with the problem behavior as it started happening. We failed at every level of our organization. We didn't adequately staff the event to cope with our growing numbers. We didn't work with our venue to discourage bad behavior. We didn't create an environment where people who wanted to solve those problems were able to. TLDR, Rainforest was irretrievably damaged before 2016 began, but we could not, or chose not to, see the damage." And then it goes into some holy crap scary to con organizers thing. It's like damage numbers and post-con reports, staffers that did not wish to, that wouldn't do the needful and pull badges as required.
Yeah.
That
guy made a fucking half-assed mealy mouth appeal about that, and it's like,
he fucked up.
Fuck you.
It's a pretty long read. The TLDR is that, like, the con got a reputation of a place where you can get away with shit.
Yeah, that you could just basically cut loose, do whatever you wanted, and there would be little to no repercussions.
And it wasn't like, oh, the place was rotten to the bottom to the top, but there was key places in the environment that didn't. But yeah, it's like one of the, just talking about the damage stuff, it's like we had, in one case, let's see, somebody stuffed a bunch of towels into the hot tub drain and damaged the pump. Somebody else deliberately loosened a bolt in a bathroom, causing the next person who flushed the toilet to flood their room with 2.5 inches of water directly above one of the hotel basement server rooms. Even the posters we put up around the hotel for the con game got vandalized or stolen. No act of destruction was too petty or too grand. And yeah, basically at the end of the con, they're like, yeah, hotel liaison had the contract prepared, but the general manager wouldn't talk to us, and your senior sales rep was barely civil. And they refused to sign the renewal for 2017. Then, of course, they went dark for months, which didn't help them at all. And of course, you know, when they also made the mistake of basically announcing the event location before they had ink on the paper.
Yeah.
And
you never fucking do that with anything, with guests, with location, anything. Like,
I've got a shitload of things lined up for my con, and we ain't said shit because it's not on paper yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing that, you know, and they kind of was like, yeah, it was one person who put the bullet in Rainforest, but we had been handing them ammunition for years.
Yeah. How shitty was that one person, though? Because it does say in there that they were up front with their new venue about what had went down at their previous venue, which leads me to believe that somebody called them up and greatly embellished what actually happened or something. But, I mean, that's another reason why you don't announce, because until you have a contract and you've got a fucking community that's out for your blood, then yeah, you're going to get fucking sabotaged.
Yeah.
And I say community because there's a group of people in the fandom that just don't like Rainforest, that want Rainforest to fail and are actively celebrating, you know, its demise.
No final comment. I'm trying to find the actual, like, the line. Mm-hmm. On January 30th, I announced the location and dates of Rainforest venue, as well as a schedule for getting our dealers registered. As soon as that information was released, at least two people emailed the convention center to warn them against extending us a contract based on our past history. Because of those emails, the Spokane Convention Center added a dress code and a damage deposit to our contract. Wonder what that would be. Both of which we gladly accepted. The execs focused on preparing to open registration for the dealers, and the board focused on the contract. On Wednesday, February 3rd, we received the final contracts from the venue, one from the con center, one from the hotel. The board spent less than a day deliberating it, and then on Thursday morning they began to vote by mail. On Thursday afternoon, the board approved the contract 7-1. Friday morning, just as I was arriving to work, the hotel negotiator and my marketing lead both called me to say the deal was dead. Less than a day before, someone sent an email to the hotel with enough of Rainforest's past history laid out in excruciating detail that the general manager himself killed the contract and demanded we remove the name of his venue from our site. Which is why I haven't named it here. I don't know who sent the letter. I don't know who precisely was in it. I only know that the letter came from a sufficiently credible source that the general manager of the hotel took it seriously, and I know its contents were specific and damning enough to flip the general manager from being willing to work with us, despite an awareness of our issues, to not wanting any association with us whatsoever. So yeah, in the end, one email sent by one person was enough to kill Rainforest. If people want a single target which to point fingers, it'd be easy to just call that person out and say they're to blame. Yes, a lone gunman pulled the trigger, but the board and executive staff sold them 5 years worth of bullets. So,
yeah.
It is a long read. We have sort of TLDR'd it, but it is fairly... We fucked up. We have fucked up. We have fucked up now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a damn shame because cons are hard work, and we've harped on that a lot. But RF, don't they have the other one, the Portlandia or Furlandia?
Furlandia, yeah. It's the same board over both of them. And they did that because it benefits Furlandia to have additional experience, and also the fact that all the paperwork is done. And they're a 501c3, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, Furlandia is run by a completely different staff. Their staff has a representative on their board, much like how Fiesta had con chairs from Fiesta and Nightmare Nights when y'all were part of the board.
Yeah.
But they... It doesn't sound like there's a lot of controlling the actual direction of Furlandia from the board side of things. So, I mean, in Furlandia right now is tiny.
Yeah.
It's like under 500 people. It's three. So it's a fairly young con too. So who knows? I mean, I don't know if they're going to suddenly explode in population because Rainforest isn't there anymore. I believe their con happens in May. So I guess we'll see how it goes, you know. The Kyoto Awards, one of the two award programs for writing in the fandom, the ceremony was usually held at Rainforest, and that's where the winners were announced. And they just announced that award ceremony will now be at Rocky Mountain FurCon this year. Which is in August, so it's about time-wise, it's kind of close to the same time. It's still on the same side of the country. And, you know, and it's a pretty good con, too, so that should be fine. But, you know, so, yeah, other people that were relying on Rainforest for certain things are looking into, okay, well, where else can we do this, you know?
Well, and like we've said, we're going to see if we can
kind of bump up the
things at Fiesta.
Bump up the writing. Yeah.
Because it's a bit late in the game for us to shift course on Fiesta. But we will...
The writing track is not looking bad this year. I mean, I know we've got the book launch for Black Angel. I'm doing a publisher Q&A. Kyle and I are doing Not Sheathed. And I know RAR, which was the furry writing retreat, they're doing the same panel they did at Furly Confusion as RAR Year One, which is basically like a recap of how Year One went and some information from the presenters and any of the students if they're there.
That's cool.
I don't know if I mentioned that on the show before, the whole writing retreat thing.
I knew, like... Kyle was doing it.
Yeah, but. He was the primary presenter. Yeah, it's like there's writing retreats outside of Furry, have been for years. We just never had one in the fandom before. Things like Clarion, which is like a 6-week residency program where you have dorms, you have a central cafeteria, and you write and then you're critiqued and basically they tear apart your story and build it together again, you know, mm-hmm. And you learn a lot about writing from it. And several people in the fandom decided to do one in our community in improving furry literature. So that'll be a panel that's held at Fiesta in the writing track, and it'll give you some. So if you're interested in maybe applying for that for year two, you know, and they're also looking at, they've talked about maybe expanding it also, yeah, maybe, because this year was on the West Coast. They might do something in the East Coast at some point too. So
cool.
Very interesting stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to Fiesta.
Yep.
It's only a couple weeks away. God,
2 weeks.
It's so crazy.
So
it's...
we'll have one more episode this month, and then the Thursday before Fiesta. Sorry, that's setup day. Never mind.
Actually, we won't have an episode that week, the week before that, because we're all going to see Zootopia.
Oh, shit, you're right.
It's opening night. So, yeah, a bunch of us are going to see Zootopia on Thursday. And then the week after that is Fiesta.
Oh, so this is the last one for the month, probably. Well, no. Of course, it is the last one for the month.
Yes. Yeah, because it's February. This will be the last episode until after Fiesta, at least.
Okay. Well, then to that end, we do need to get our shout-outs for our Patreons.
Oh, okay.
Because they're cool people.
It's a shout-out.
Severin info, so get your cock out.
Let's not rip off Kevin Smith completely.
We've got 30 patrons. You guys are awesome. So thank you, all you guys. I'm just going to go down the list here on patreon.com/notcast. So thank you to Ramuros, Piper, Kylie, Mindy, Festive Pinball, Shiroi, The Wolfie Man, Lunatara, Darthus, Aaron Quinn, Rand the Bat, Zizik, Kilkoto, Rayfar, Mighty Ferret, Luke, Jamie, Raxme, Seven Twigs, Riven Scythe, Jeeves the Rue, Paul, Crash, Graith, Michael, Shadow D. Wolf, Zirian, and Shiru 14.
And Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah. But not Colossus, because we are too lewd.
Yes, he'd be like, language!
There's too much language. I cannot listen to this.
How you say not in Russian?
Oh, man. So, we're going to stop and save real quick. We're at 43 minutes in. And then we will get into the few emails we have and then get out of here because it is 9:50 at night. And we're back. We had a rousing conversation that just too spicy for the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I ate a piece of chocolate. One of the nice things about...
By that, he means rimming me out.
No, actually, a piece of Dove chocolate. We went to Target, like, the week after Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And they still had a bunch of stuff left over. So getting, you know, bags of Dove chocolates for, like, 80 cents.
You have reverted to your previous form and went...
No. But it's one of those things where it's like, yay, I love... post holiday candy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm post Easter, I just get Peeps. I love Peeps.
Oh, really? Huh.
They had,
They've never really struck me one way or the other. I don't love them. I don't hate them.
Cadbury eggs, though. Gourmet Peeps.
Oh.
They had, like, pumpkin spice Peeps, and they had, like, a dark fudge Peeps. This ones they had were cherry cordial Peeps. They're like 3 Peeps to a package.
Yeah.
But they're cherry flavored Peeps with chocolate on the bottom half of them.
Oh my god!
Like the ding, like ho ho or ding dong chocolate. So it's not like real chocolate, but really good. And they were like 80 cents for the package, or no, even less. When they're like normal, cause it's like 70% off at that point. Like they're just like, get it out of here! And I'm like, yes, I will buy this chocolate. They have those the giant Hershey Kisses, the solid Hershey Kisses for like $1.25.
Oh god, yeah, those huge ones, right?
There's like the ones you can like
take someone's eye out with.
Totally. So we have a few emails, and we're going to get right to them today. Let's see. Okay, so this one's titled Stuff and Things. Stuff and Things, to read it directly.
Okay.
Greetings, Notcast. I am emailing you today on a topic that has been weighing on my mind for some time now. I have been a longtime friend with an individual I shall call S. He is the only solid friend I have had since I can remember, and I have shared many experiences with him, including coming out to him months before anyone else and pretty much all other major life events. This has caused me to become quite attached to him, always wanting him to tell him first whenever something happens and frequently inviting him to such events as film viewings and just having a nice dinner. He has never, however, been verbally homosexual, and this, alongside discussing only women when talking about sexual experiences, has made it difficult for me to bring up the fact that I have fallen for him. I fear that it will cause our relationship to deteriorate and push us apart, and this has caused me to become nervous around him, making us drift apart without either of us actively attempting to do so. I really don't want the greatest friend I've ever had to leave because I'm so nervous, but I also fear that telling him will only accelerate our separation instead of getting it off my shoulders and becoming relaxed around each other again. Your opinion would be greatly appreciated. Regards, Herbert Plotkins, the Samoyed slowly melting in 40 Celsius, 104 Fahrenheit, down under. Please send help. Man, a Samoyed in 104 degrees. That would be a puddle. So, here we have the gay friend falling for the straight friend. Are you sure you're not in a romantic comedy? So,
it's all pink in the dark, bro.
Well, I mean, this is one of the things that can go two ways, right? You could either just be like, look, I'm sorry, I'm a nervous. I really like you, and I like you, but I know you don't feel that way, and I just, you know, want to explain why I'm weird about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not addressing the issue is already causing your relationship harm.
Right.
So
you can't make it much worse, really.
You are either facing a slow deterioration and eventual collapse, or you take the shot and say, hey, this is why it is. I really dig you. You mean a lot to me, and you know, I understand if you don't reciprocate, but I just want to explain why things have been a little weird. And hopefully, if this person is a good friend, they will understand. Even if they don't reciprocate your feelings, they'll understand and, you know, hopefully will feel flattered. You know, if you've been friends with them your entire life, they mm-hmm. will probably not be too scared. Because odds are, if you've been really, you know, you've been, you know, out gay with him, and suddenly he's like, oh man, you like me? Queer! And runs away, then that would be very surprising.
Yeah.
So
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Harden up and just be like, hey, you know, don't do it in the, I love you, fling your arms around his shoulder and kiss him. Don't do that. But just basically explain, look, you know, I've been nervous around you for a while and this is why it's weird. I know, but I just want to let you know because I don't want to harm our relationship, our friendship further.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems fair.
Because, I mean, the way you put it here, you're already on the road to ruin if you don't address it. So, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it!
Like, fucking Nike and shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've already made up your mind that it's going to cause separation, you might as well address it and hope and find out, hopefully, that your assessment of the situation was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Be like, look, this is what the deal is. Sorry.
Yep. Amen. That sounds good. Okay. Okay. Next one is R ratings and birthdays. Dear Naughty Casters, I have a question for you this week. Not about furry or relationship stuff per se, but about America.
America.
Not to sound too 90s stand-up comedy, but what's with you guys' movies rating system? Over here in the UK, we have 5 ratings for movies. U, universal, suitable for all. PG, parental guidance. Parents may wish to check the film's content before allowing their kids to see it, but there's no restriction on who can view or buy it. 12A, until about 10 years ago, the rule was simply children 12 and over can view these movies with or without an adult present. Children under 12 cannot, period. Since it was changed from 12 to 12A, however, it's now children under 12 must be accompanied by an adult, so they can still see it. 15, you must be 15 years old or you cannot watch or buy this movie, period. 18, you must be 18 years old or you cannot watch or buy this movie, period. In America, on the other hand, unless I'm very much mistaken, you guys go from PG-13, Which is the equivalent of our 12A, except I'm not sure whether you definitely need parental accompaniment. I don't think you do.
Huh?
I don't think you do.
You don't.
I don't know. And
PG-13 is parental guidance strongly suggested.
Right.
It may not be suitable for children.
And the reason it's 3D, it's 13 instead of 12, is because of the difference when converting from British to American.
Right. Metric.
Yeah.
Dull Wittershins.
To R-rated, which basically means what? R-rated is for 17 and older.
Actually, 18 plus, because they can have...
No, R was 17. Then now there's NC-17.
NC-17 is no children under 17, period. R is restricted.
Yeah, R is restricted, but but if you're under 17, you can't see it. It's restricted to being 17 and older.
Yeah.
I think you can, excuse me, R, you can bring in children under 17 with you.
With an adult.
Yeah.
So if you're a bad parent, you can totally take your 8-year-old to go see the latest slasher film.
Or Deadpool. Right. And then bitch about it afterwards.
Yep.
But you can, under any circumstances, take them to a porno, which is basically what NC-17 is for. Yeah. Anyway, let's read the rest of the email, I guess. R means basically what? That it's totally not suitable for kids, that there's going to be sex, violence, swearing, gore, horror. Yeah. And yet somehow a 5-year-old is still allowed to go see this film if they're accompanied by an adult. Yeah.
Freedom of choice.
What is the point of an R rating if people are going to let their 5-year-old bully them into taking them to Deadpool just because it's a Marvel Comics movie, then bitch and moan about the type of contact that the movie's makers subjected their child to, quote unquote. I know that it's easier to say these are just dumbass parents and that the majority understands that an R-rated picture isn't suitable for youngins, but really, wouldn't it just be easier to say people under this age cannot view this movie? Your thoughts would, as always, be greatly appreciated. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo. Rated 18, contain graphic sexual contents and infrequent strong language, Scotland. P.S. I'd also like to wish Fuzz Wolf a very, very happy birthday. Hey Fuzz, hit me up in a DM on Twitter. I'd like to write you a short story as a birthday gift. Something romantic, something kinky. Let me ring in this new year of your life with some furry fiction of your character.
Oh, Golden 3.
That's cool. Yeah, I'll totally hit you up on Twitter.
I mean, he does bring up a good point.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
No one ever said America made sense.
That's very true.
I mean, we're in an election year. It's kind of on stage for the world to see.
Terrifying the rest of the world. I mean, just guess what?
Yeah.
America, try and stop us. Basically, I'm pretty sure that the argument would boil down to we don't want to deal with bitchy parents.
Yeah. I think it's not as different as you think it is. Because, like, RR is much like your 15, except the age is different, and you can still bring your kids instead of being a hard and fast no. Okay, I guess it is quite different.
Yeah, I mean,
and then beyond R, we have NC-17, which is no fucking kids, no.
But the thing is, do UK cinemas allow 18 films? Because American cinemas sure as fuck don't allow NC-17, and NC-17 is basically the death knell for any film.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think you can go see an NC-17 film in the theater, but like from a marketing perspective, and theaters like to be seen as family-friendly good time places, you know? So you don't want to be showing the latest Zootopia, the latest Disney movie, is what I meant to say. At the same time, you have an NC-17 rated film in another theater. And a lot of that is bullshit, because it's like, okay, outright pornography, NC-17, no problem. People are having penetrative sex where everything is on display, fucking on the screen. Okay, yeah, clearly NC-17. But it's used the MPAA is very political, and Hollywood is very political. And you can kind of hear some of the dirty details of this by listening to Kevin Smith's podcasts about the makings of some of his films. But, like, And how ridiculous it is, because it's like the same panel of people. Originally, they were going to give Zach and Miri Make a Porno in NC-17. And so he took some shit out, and they were still like, no, it's still in NC-17. So then he put some shit back in that he had cut out previously and moved some other shit around, and then it got an R. You know? Like, it's one of those, you kind of got to massage the system kind of things. So what I'm saying is basically it doesn't always make sense. It's not a hard and fast rule usually. Like there's a lot of people pointed out that by all accounts, like Passion of the Christ should have been NC-17 for the amount of horrific violence on display, or at least R. And I don't remember what it was eventually rated. If you want to look it up right quick, I think it was rated like PG-13.
Which one?
Passion of the Christ.
It was R.
It was R? Mm-hmm. Okay, but they still wanted all the kids to see it. So.
Yeah, because it's about the bloody massacre of Jesus.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, there was some controversy about that from the more secular side, but we don't care because of Jesus.
I'm looking at the list of like films that have been rated NC-17, and there's not a ton.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of them, like Clockwork Orange, was originally rated X for violence, and its original thing, he cut a cut version.
Mm-hmm.
Got an R version, though. Now the original version has been re-rated to R.
And Clockwork Orange was banned for like 30 years in the UK.
Yeah. Let's see. Army of Darkness was seriously? Originally NC-17.
Wow.
American Psycho.
Huh.
Going down Basic Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just seeing things that I see. That shitty Blood Rain movie made by fucking Uwe Ball.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights. The Boondock Saints.
They must have been recut for lesser rates.
Braveheart. Was initially NC. I mean, this is basically stuff that when initially went to the ratings board, they're like, nope.
Yeah.
Bruno.
I don't know that one.
Clerks.
Oh.
The original Cliffhanger action movie.
Seriously?
Yeah. Dead Presidents.
And there's also like.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Evil Dead 2013.
So basically every Evil Dead film was
originally. Eyes Wide Shut, Fight Club, Freddy Got Fingered, Friday the 13th, parts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So all of them, originally rated X, edited version rated R. So basically it's not that hard to get an NC-17 film, and a lot of films that we know as R-rated films apparently started life as NC-17s and then later in the unrated cuts keep their original shit. Like, I'm interested to see what they cut from Deadpool to keep it R, because there's probably some fucking and more Deadpool dick.
Yeah. And sometimes it's something simple like you said fuck one too many times.
Yeah.
So you trade out the word or you cut that line of dialogue and then suddenly it drops a rating. Like, I think Smith said something like, in a PG-13 movie, you're allowed two shits and a fuck. And if it goes over that, then it bumps up to R.
Yeah.
And when you're making, like, a rom-com, being rated R kills it.
Yep.
Because it significantly cuts down on the number of, like, teenage couples that can go and see it and that kind of thing. Or families that'll go and see it on a date night kind of thing. And then, you know, in the R-rated game, you know, when you're making more violent or more raunchy films, if it's rated NC-17, then that's the kiss of death. Not so much because your fans won't like it, but just because theaters won't carry it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, NC-17 films are often, like, make very little money relative to other films. Like... let's see. In 2004, Fox Searchlight Pictures released The Dreamers with an NC-17 rating. This film grossed $2.5 million in the U.S. theatrical release, but was a respectable result for a specialized film with a targeted audience. Same year, Sony Pictures Classic released Bad Education with NC-17. It grossed $5.5 million. But then NC-17 films also tended to gross more on the home media market. For example, Showgirls became one of MGM's top 20 all-time bestsellers, and Lust, Caution has generated more than $18 million from DVD rentals in the U.S. So they're like, these movies, Lust, Lust, Caution made NC-17, was NC-17, and grossed $4.6 million, and then $18 million in DVDs.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's like, people are like, oh shit, dude, this movie's rated NC-17. We're gonna see some fucked up shit. They rent it, and it's just like fucking bizarro clown shit. Oh god, I don't know. I'm not gonna dive down the Wikipedia.
Realize hole. They rented Vulgar by mistake.
Oh, we rented a Serbian film.
Ah. I've heard that's awful. I don't.
It's remember. Apparently one of the worst films ever made. Incredibly brutal, violent, rapey. Natural Born Killers, Orgasmo, Phantasm 1, 2, 3, Predator 2, Pulp Fiction, Requiem for a Dream.
The Robin Williams movie?
Yeah. Edited version rated R in 2001 for intense depiction of drug addiction, graphic sexuality, strong language, and graphic violence.
Yeah.
Huh. Original RoboCop. Film had to be edited and resubmitted 11 times before finally receiving an R rating. Edited version rated R for graphic violence, strong language, and brief
nudity. It's a pretty brutal movie. I guess I'm really not surprised by that.
All the Saw films. Duh.
Yeah.
Scarface. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to close out of Wikipedia because that's a hole you don't want to fall down.
Apparently he has his cock out in the original machine gun scene, and you know, then they had to edit his pants back in to get the R rating.
There's that one. One GIF of like a porn parody thing where RoboCop, like this one woman's getting attacked by dudes with their dicks out, and he's just shooting dudes' dicks off left and right constantly. It's like this 20-second GIF of him just blowing dudes' dicks off.
Oh my god! Just I, no matter how horrible or fucked up a character is in a movie, I still cringe like crazy if they get shot in the crotch, you know? I'm just like,
ugh. I don't know, my dick.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, the bottom line is, though, with Deadpool, if a parent gets bullied by their child and then gets mad, that's their own goddamn fault. But I do have to say that Marvel is kind of in a weird situation that Fox can make the movie they want to make with Deadpool.
Yeah.
But Deadpool has shown up in the more recent Spider-Man cartoon as just a comedic, wacky character.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a character that's in a hard R film also showing up in children's media. So, like, the Target down the street here has, there's Funko Pop shirts, which, Christ, they are the worst. Like, there are people that really love the Funko Pops, and I just think they're terrible.
Uh-huh.
'Cause they're lazy, I think. And they have a Funko Pop Deadpool shirt on an end cap on a toy aisle. I'm just like, man, what a world.
Yeah.
You have explicitly targeted kids Deadpool stuff and then explicitly totally not for kids stuff.
It's kind of funny that, like, they're talking, you know, people are making a big deal, and not people that saw the movie really, but just in discussion about the oh my god, there's frontal male nudity. And it's like, that scene is not played to be sexy or anything like that. It's just he's naked at the time because he's running from a burning building. And it's like, it's not like, hey, baby, check out my fat mutant cock or anything like that, you know?
It's incidental nudity because all of his clothes burned off.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't take the creative camera angles that a PG-13 movie would do to not show that.
Yeah. Or it's like when...
Like Watchmen with the Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Basically.
With his giant blue dick. What's the problem?
it wasn't played for sexiness, like, so it's, to me, it's not really, to me, it's like, it's just a dick.
It's just a dick.
It's a body part.
Just like in the strip club scene, you see boobies and some bush.
It's like 50% of the population has one. It's not like
they take the camera and squish it up against the vulva.
Yeah. And Deadpool just stands there going, vulva.
We've angered the vulva. Anyways, And it's a weird double standard because, like, female nudity is not that big a deal, but full frontal male nudity. Oh, shit.
And there was that one scene where, like, the five naked strippers, like, came together and formed Voltron.
Yeah.
It was just a giant robot vulva.
It was foreshadowed by the ring.
Yeah. What?
Remember at the start of the film when he's like, how much will Blah get me? It's like 48 minutes for anything, whatever. So they go play skee ball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because wacky.
Yes.
Vulva.
And he gets the Voltron ring.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Voltron.
So go see Deadpool if you're old enough, which if you're listening to this, you should be.
You better be.
Please.
Or Deadpool will come and like, cut you some slack.
Yeah. All right. We got one more.
One more to go.
Yeah, Anonymous asked a question. A while back on the show, I think one of the hosts mentioned that they suspected someday soon the U.S. convention scene would reach saturation. Do you guys think that the recent deaths of Rokel Khan and Rainforest are basically the start of the saturation, despite the fact that it was drama rather than low attendance which caused their collapse? Or is this just another example of our fandom self-destructing when it has a good thing going?
I don't think that is part of the saturation.
I think it's more the latter.
Yeah, it's... In Okulkan's case, it was just really unfortunate. I mean, they were in a homophobic environment with a state park that didn't really want them there, but was sort of contractually obligated to have them. And then, like, bad thing happened, and they were like, okay, that's our excuse.
Get out.
You're gone.
RF and Okulkan don't have similar deaths.
With Rainforest, it's like a pattern of just hotel damage that they just sort of blew off year after year after year. And then, you know, this year was like, okay, literal saturation, as in flooding a fucking room.
Yeah, I mean, they were both, like, they both had the commonality of the hotels had, like, the last straw occur.
Right, yeah.
But, like, at Oakland, it was bad thing, whereas it was just sort of the culmination of bad things with art.
Right, and I also, I wouldn't say it's the former or the latter, I'd say it was a third thing. And the Rainforest is just so. In general, furry cons and furry attendees are some of the better attendees at hotels.
Yep.
When compared to industry cons and hairdressers and dentists and religious groups,
cowboys,
and you know, you talk to the staff, you know, and the higher up staff or the event staff talks to our executive con staff, and like you find this out. So for the most part, furries are pretty good guests, and they're pretty well behaved and non-destructive. Rainforest is the exception, not the rule. And not even saying that it was, like, a particularly large amount of shitty people. It's just that as the con grew, that small percentage of shitty people grew with it. And they didn't do enough to step in and squash that and say, no, this is not acceptable.
Yeah, basically, but people figured out, say with quotation fingers, that they could get away with shit.
Right. And so I don't think it's either case. It's neither of those are due to the saturation. What I think con saturation, I think there's been a couple of cons that have been canceled because of low attendance and lack of interest from the community.
Yeah.
It actually says on Wikifur for Laxation, which was in Ohio as a competitor to what was at the time Morphicon, was canceled after 3 years for multiple reasons, one of which was costs and lack of interest from the community. Maltese FurCon in Massachusetts, no second year because of lack of interest from the community. And that I'm sure that's happened other times.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But then they have, like, what, Furry Northeast or whatever?
Anthro New England is the other one that's in Massachusetts. So that's the problem. Like the couple that I've mentioned, they were in towns where there was already a furry con.
Yeah.
You know? And
I'll make my own con with blackjack and hookers, even if that wasn't necessarily the case.
Right. The Wikifur article for Furlaxation in particular is interesting, quote-unquote. You should all go and read it. And everything will become clear. But
speaking of Wiki Fern.
Oh.
Oh, I had somebody on fucking YouTube comments, man. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, confirmed, Saverin is a furry, and they linked to my Wiki Fur. And I'm like, you didn't think the icon was a dead giveaway? And then I deleted their comment because I'm like, I don't need people going to my fucking Wiki Fur. Then I looked at my Wiki Fur and I'm like, man, this is really out of date. And I like updated it. So hopefully the Wiki Fur doesn't have rules against updating your own article.
You can update your own article, but sometimes they're kind of dicks about, oh, citation needed. But it's true. I'm me, and it happened to be. Arr, citation needed. So then just make a tweet or a live journal entry and then link back to it.
Yeah, I don't know how to do citations on that, but my article was super short.
You know all you do? You just look at an article that has citations and reverse engineer the code.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
But I also linked to my like Tumblr and YouTube page and stuff. Like
that. Yeah.
It's like, I do things beyond...
Well,
it looks like the last thing that anybody ever updated in my article was in like 2009.
Yeah.
And so like it mentioned that we were going to be GOHs at Foxmas, but not that we were GOHs at Oklacon the following year.
Wow, that was out of date then. So, yeah, like, definitely.
Didn't mention that I like do audiobooks and shit.
Yeah. Foxmas is another situation where like one or two assholes, however many, contacted the hotel and scuttled the con. And, like, okay, so, like, my problem with Foxmas was their advertising was very overtly sexual and focusing on one particular person's persona. And that is just dumb.
Yeah.
And they made it clear that it was going to be an 18-plus convention and that you didn't have to worry about being child-friendly. And that's great. Nobody was talking about fucking in the halls or walking around naked or anything like that. But a lot of the con's detractors were like, they want people to be able to fuck anywhere, and it's going to be debauchery, and it's going to be a BDSM con.
Well, remember, you're fucking one of Nightmare Nights. We had people trying to tell the Crown that, oh, they're going to have fursuit sex in the hallways now.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Yeah. Those guys were pulling out all the fucking tropes on us, and it didn't. Of course, the hotel, having worked with us for the past 5 years.
That's what they didn't. They knew about FurryCon.
They were like, these people are retarded.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they are. Thanks for letting us know. And then we kept hammering nails into their coffin until they eventually died because fuck them, those fuckers. They fucked with my money. You will die.
But, you know, I'm honestly shocked and a little frightened that, like, one or two motivated assholes. Another one was the one that was in L.A. that two was the contra of Anthuria. Yeah, like
that one had a troubled life cycle.
Their last year, somebody apparently contacted the hotel they were at and said some shit, and their contract got pulled, and they had to reschedule. Like, and they were successful in doing it, but they had to reschedule super quick and find a different venue, so they got fucked by the same thing.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, not the first time this has happened with this Rainforest situation.
So basically, if you're a con, you need to have good relationships with your hotel.
Yeah, and also be completely upfront and honest about what goes on and what does not go on at a furry con. And for fuck's sake, don't compare yourself to an anime con. Because anime
cons, oh man.
Anime cons are super well known in the hotel industry, apparently, for having shitloads of damage.
Well, did we bring up the KatsuCon thing?
We haven't talked about KatsuCon. Oh, no, shit. We should totally mention that. This is a non-furry issue. But but yeah, anime cons are known for having a lot of damage. So, like, apparently A-Con had a lot of issues like that at their old hotel. But talk about fucking KatsuCon, because that just happened.
Yeah, so this actually kind of should have dovetailed into their discussion about Rainforest. They had a fairly significant amount of damage to the venue as well. They're in D.C. They were the week before MAGFest, which apparently went on just fine, because I had friends that went there and destroyed their livers and had a grand old time.
Mm.
And actually, I would say, hey, Sparf, you're listening. Write us and tell us how that went. But they just... They punched holes in walls. There was some flooding. Uh-huh. People were like high fiving the fucking. You know, they have that narrow little exit signs that hang
from the ceiling.
Someone basically broke one off its mounting, so it was hanging by the wires. Someone scratched Katsukan 2016 onto the interior of bathroom stall doors.
Like, who the fuck thinks that's a good idea? You know?
And it's just like, just vast amounts of damage to the property. And this is a Gaylord, like, event center thing. It's a big, expensive complex.
Yeah.
Because Katsukan's a pretty big event.
Right.
So if you're that big, your venues are limited, so you don't fuck with that, because they will just, if they don't kick your ass out, they will start gouging you.
Yeah.
Because, for fucking Akon, there ain't nowhere bigger in North Texas. They'd have to move to, San Antonio.
Mm.
So they're kind of fucked.
Really? The Dallas Convention Center?
They don't have the hotel support downtown.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
There's not enough rooms at the Omni.
Mm.
Because, Comic-Con's not a con where people come and, stay as much.
Yeah.
People come a day and go. They can get away with being in the convention center.
Right.
Whereas people stay for all 3 days plus some at the Anatole.
Mm-hmm.
So they need fuckloads of rooms nearby.
Gotcha. I remember because, that was a big deal, politically in Dallas was the building the convention center got passed, but then they wanted to build a bunch of hotels down there to support the convention center. And a lot of the existing hotel industries were like, no, because Dallas already has a shitload of hotels.
But they're not
attached to the fucking convention center.
Or even nearby.
Yeah. And so that was a big deal, passing the bond to approve building a hotel or not. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Dallas Convention Center has got a great, big, huge space, but they're hamstrung by the fact that there's only the Omni there, and that doesn't have enough rooms.
Yeah.
Mm. Man, cons are fucking scary business, kids. Don't start one of your own.
So that's Katsukan. So this, shit is not limited to furries, and furries are not the worst of it.
Oh, no.
But since Saverin mentioned Comic-Con at the Dallas Convention Center, Comic-Con runs Fan Expo, which is coming up in June, and it was just announced that Peter Capaldi is going to be there. Yes, that was my dick thumping the table.
Yeah.
So also, Jenna Coleman, who plays Clara, and Michelle, I can never forget her, remember her last name.
That's a hell of a last name.
The lady who plays Missy, the new incarnation of the Master. So you're going to have the 12th Doctor, Missy, and Clara. And also Jay and Silent Bob are going to be there. And oddly, they were like, oh, we've added a major media guest who never does cons because he'd never have a fucking reason to. John Cusack, randomly, is added as a guest. I'm like, hey, he's been in a bunch of movies I like, but kind of weird that he's at a Comic Con, but okay.
He's like, I was free for the weekend and I don't charge that much.
Maybe he was just like, yeah, I'd like to see Dallas, get some fucking barbecue. I can make some
money on autograph sales, sure.
Or maybe they're trying to reach out to a wider media thing and be like, hey, if we can get a bunch of film fans in that aren't strictly related to the comic sci-fi world.
Those cons are just a nightmare.
Yeah. I'm paying for the VIP thing because I want to be in the short line that gets to see Peter first. And can then go on to another line somewhere else. Because I don't want to be in the fucking massive line. Like, I paid for, I think, a premium pass to see Matt Smith in New Orleans. And it was well set up where they were like, okay, come back and wait between this hour and this time and this time. But you still have to wait a fucking long time.
Yeah.
And they boom, boom, boom you through that shit like fucking cattle, you know?
That I don't go to those cons for that very reason. They're hard on the guests. They're shitty to the attendees. They are a cash mill for the organizations that run it, and the people that run it are shitheads.
Mm.
They locked talent into exclusivity contracts and all sorts of bad behavior like that.
Yeah, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah. I could go on for a long period of time, but that's a bit too much inside baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, generally, fuck Comic Cons. They're not very nice people.
Yeah, they're in it for the money. They're not in it for the love.
Pretty much.
Like, you know.
I mean, all cons are businesses. Like,
yeah, all cons are businesses, but it's
their point.
When it comes down to fan cons, like furries or bronies, it's like they're
making money doing this.
Their
shit.
Business is to break even, not be completely fucked over. But like the business of these big cons is to actually make money. I mean, you know, in Fiesta's business is to break even and make money for the charity. Same with Nightmare Nights. Yeah. You know, most furry or brony cons, it's like we want to not be in the fucking hole and we want to raise money for our chosen charity. You know, and if you can throw 10, 20 grand at a charity and a bunch of money to the North Texas Food Bank or something and entertain your attendees, and you've done a pretty good job.
And we have money for next year. Yay!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if there's money next year, good. But Comic-Cons like that, they're all about the profit. And that's why autographs are so fucking expensive, because the con takes a cut.
Yep.
Like, half of it.
Fuck. Yeah. So when you see, like, wow, $80 to meet someone and have them sign something, it's like, no blame the actor. That's just the fucking industry. It's just the way it is, you know? But, fuck, yeah, I want to... Is it gay if I hug Peter Capaldi? You know?
If it is, you're gay anyway, so whatever.
And then, like, security comes out and, like, they beat me over the head with sonic screwdrivers until I let go.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think we're kind of at the end point for this show. It is now 10:34, and we're old.
Yes.
You know, you should have been in bed an hour ago.
Oh, now, I hope my body doesn't fail me between now and meeting the doctor.
You've run out of regenerations.
Yeah.
So, as always, you can contact us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can contact us on Tumblr at notcast.tumblr.com. You can tweet at us on Twitter at notcast. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/notcast. You can find me on Twitter at Saffron Drake.
You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. Also at FurPlanet. FurPlanet.com. BadDogBooks.com for ebooks.
Yes. Buy his books. Buy my books.
At audible.com/SaffronDrake. No, wait. No, that's probably not.
just go look under Kyle's books. Beyond that, we will not be doing a show at Furry Fiesta. We will have 2 weeks of no shows. So the first show after this will be after Furry Fiesta.
But if you're at Furry Fiesta, come and see Not Sheathed with myself and Kyle, and we will be talking about writing and publishing in a fandom and being old.
Yep. And you can come say hi to me in the game room. I'll have a brand new badge. I posted about it. It's the 80s Saturn. Oh,
I love that. I want to get one, like, in that style. And then, like, have you ever watched Moonbeam City?
Yeah.
God,
it got canceled, unfortunately.
It did?
Yeah. Oh.
But, like, when the main title credits come up, I showed it to a friend of mine on Tuesday, and I was like, that's like fucking Saffron's badge. That is exactly like it.
Huh.
What was it? It was Comedy Central. Oh, that's weird they canceled it. Wonder if it could go, like, direct to Hulu or something.
Who knows? So, we're going to wrap this up, and so on that note, good night.
And big balls. Don't fuck the snake.